broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben, it's 52 degrees, volcano. We're freezing over here. You know, I really shouldn't say that. People really are very, very cold in some places across the United States and the world, for that matter. 52 at Volcano Golf Club, and there's an 836 or a 928 if you'd like to get out and play a round of golf. Macaulay, also an upcountry course, so it's probably a little chilly with the peacocks. 830 and a 910. Poipu, Aim Right Rifle Company is on the course. Yes, may you all hit the sweet spot every time, including the Palmer group that's out today. But there's a 950, a 1040, and a 1050 if you'd like to play around at Poipu Bay, a beautiful golf course. Turtle Bay, 838, 918, 11 o'clock. Raw Hawaiian Country Club, 840, 950, 1010. Eva Beach Golf Course, 940, 1016. Makaha East, a 1051, an 1124, and a 1227. And may you hit the sweet spot every time. Balls deep. That's the group playing at Makaha East. Wailea, it's 65, not 52. There's an 11 o'clock, a 1210, a 130 on the gold course. Emerald has a 1240, a 1250. And the blue course has a 1 p.m. this afternoon. And the wind is going to be interesting today. Indeed, it is. It's going to be mostly sunny, isolated showers, Kauai mainly, high about 77. Sea breezes, that means it's going to be coming off the ocean at you, 10 miles an hour. Southwesterlies coming out tonight, about 15, and the low tonight will be between 57 and 62, unless you live a volcano when it's probably going to go down to 52 again. I wouldn't be surprised. So let's all have a great day today. Get out and play a round of golf. Alex Myers joins us, Senior Writer, Golf Digest, coming up. Isaiah Memzegi, founder and director of the Afriyeya Golf Academy in Uganda. He's in the UK right now. Scott Bridges, PGA, Aloha Section, PGA 2022 Teacher of the Year. He's out at the Four Seasons Resort, Hualalai. And Lester George, ASGCA Board of Governors, President, Golf Course Architect of the Year by the Boardroom Magazine, one of the leading young architects in the country, Golf World Magazine, Achievement in Golf Course Design, ING Industry Honors. We're going to talk with Lester George after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, Water Flood, Broken Pipe Cleanup, 24-7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Thank you very much. And Lester George, ASGCA, stands for American Society of Golf Course Architects. He's the owner of George Golf Design, Inc. He's on the Board of Governors of the ASGCA, Chairman of the External Communications Committee. And he's in the clubhouse with us now. Hi, Lester George.
Good morning, Danielle Tucker. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's a wonderful, chilly morning. Of course, you know, what, 65, 67. Not as cold as it probably is. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond.
And we're not going to be as warm as you today, I promise.
I've heard that some of the temperatures are really strange on these, when, you know, there's... Some people are in the dipped in the, and then if you go up a little bit higher up north of all things, it'll be in the 70s while everybody else is freezing a little bit further south.
We've had one of those winters where we've had the ups and downs, and you can't tell day by day, but it's actually been pretty mild winter for us.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So with more than 30 years of experience in design, renovation, restoration of golf courses throughout the U.S. and Asia, you've led George Golf Design through all kinds of different projects, You've worked on everything from plains to steep rocky terrain to brownfield, environmentally challenging sites. And I'm actually reading from what he presented to me. And I got to this sentence and I went, huh? We got to start with this. Including a course under which thousands of unexploded bombs were discovered once excavation began. How shocking was that, Lester?
That was the unique one. We did Langley Air Force Base in Pocosin, Virginia, which is the first piece of property deeded to the Army Air Corps back in 1912 or 10. And once they started dropping bombs, they started dropping them right there on that site. And when Hurricane Isabel ravished the golf course in whatever year, 2006, we were called in to rebuild it. And as soon as we started shaping, these bombs percolated to the surface. And we had to stop all the work and do a Doppler on it. And we found 17,400 of them in the first 30 inches of the property. And we had to remove them because of the irrigation that we were going to replace. And it was, you know, we were popping them up every 5 feet. I mean, it was amazing. We even found a fire truck buried under the golf course.
No, that is, I mean, we in Hawaii, you know, we've been at all kinds of different practice facilities, you know, and we even had a target island, unfortunately, Kaho'olawe, that practiced, you know, so we know from unexploded ordnance, but that is, you know, what you've just described is absolutely bizarre. How much area are we talking about that all these unexploded ordnances and a fire truck were found underneath?
About 100 acres.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and they used that bombing range up until the late 50s or early 60s, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's all it took 2 years and millions of dollars to clean up. And then they finally said, okay, now you can go build your golf course. The minute we started, we hit something else. And it's like, oh, my, it's never going to stop.
Wow.
But, yeah, we've done that one, too. It certainly gave new meaning to the term explosion bunker.
Yeah, so. truly. In the world of golf, a bunker, yes. Now, something probably completely different. The Country Club of Florida in Palm Beach, built in 1955, opened in 56. And I love this. I mean, this is Mr. Blunt's friend and famous amateur golfer, Chick Evans. After it was opened up, hosted all of these fabulous events. Was it the power of celebrity that funneled all this stuff?
Yeah, I think it was. There was a connection. It was the power of I think Carlton Blunt, who was big in the Western Golf Association, and he was one of the original funders of the Evans Scholarship, so they had a great relationship. And, you know, he was forming a club that was similar to Augusta National. In fact, Mr. Roberts didn't like it that much, so there seemed to be some agreed disagreement. And Carlton Blunt left Augusta National and went ahead and built his club down there in Delray Beach, Boynton Beach. And the first general manager left Augusta National to go to Country Club of Florida. And Johnny Farrell was their first teaching pro, who just got put into the World Golf Hall of Fame 3 days ago.
Wow!
And so it's a really neat club, and it's a lot of people don't get to see it, but it's one of our best renovations ever, and it's just a great routing by Robert Bruce Harris, who was a powerful architect in the Midwest back then, and you know, he lived out his life there. Robert Bruce Harris lived out his life there. Passed away, I think, in 1977. So, anyway,
wow.
Great club. It's very, very exclusive and very well kept secret. It's really hard to get to see.
I bet. I mean, among the celebrity guests, Duke of Windsor, you know, landing his plane on the first fairway.
I don't know if that ever really happened, but but you know, Glenna Colette Vare played out most of her final days there. Frank Stranahan, he lived on the second hole. I mean, yeah, it was pretty unique little club. It still is.
I bet.
I'm still working there. I'm leaving Monday to go down and look at some work that we're going to do this summer.
Oh, yeah. Arthur Hills remodeled it in 1987. But then it's written here, 2006, Lester George directed the second renovation. His talent and imagination resulted in the creation of stunning and expansive views throughout a course surrounded by nature. And I've got to tell you, folks, I didn't get that from anything that Lester George, ASGCA, gave me. It was from the golf course website that was written. So what did you do that, you know, changed things that would make such an impression?
Well, it's one of those courses that has a couple of real natural sand dunes that runs through it. So there is some elevation, which is unique to that area. And I think we, first of all, went back with we were the first ones to use Celebration Bermuda grass to that extent in that area. And so we completely fumigated 90 acres of the property and sterilized the entire property and put in the newer grass. And we removed a bunch of landscaping and then came back in and we thought, eco-friendly, put landscaping back in, recreated what is an Audubon certified golf course, and that we have areas that are just completely areas that are not disturbed by golfers at all and are sanctuaries, and it's you know, got the bird certification and everything.
Right.
So mostly it was in the work of the bunkers. The bunkers were hard to see from certain angles, and we just kicked them up, flashed them a bit, and made them all better to see, and just used Bruce Harris's routing that he left there in 56, and I think accentuated the strategy and the purpose of the golf course the way he had it. I mean, it's a magnificent routing, and so I just tried to get back to what his strategy was, and I had all his original drawings, so it was really a restoration of his strategy with a little bit more of a kind of a modern feel, in terms of we moved bunkers out to where they were relevant again and stuff like that. The stuff you do with any modern renovation where you're trying to get back to the strategy, you have to obviously put length into play and width into play, but it's withheld. I mean, I'm still working there 17 years later. So.
That's wonderful. No, it really is. And you know, one of the biggest questions that a golfer asks or people ask about a golf course is, what kind of wildlife's on the course? What am I going to see? You know, and I find that wonderful, because you know, we have a mongoose that'll come and steal your sandwich off the golf court. It's not just one, it's many. they're just in charge, you know, and you just, it's, and oh, look at there, it's a family of piggies. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be on a golf course where you can actually not just hit a ball and you know, if you're not having a good day, be upset, hopefully not with yourself, just let it go. That's my message to you today. If you're going to go on the golf course, don't get upset with yourself. Just let it go and have a good time. Look around. Look for the wildlife. So I think that's something that a lot of people who don't know golf and don't know golf courses don't realize, is how much these golf courses provide a natural kind of place for animals to go to, that they're losing so much ground, and you folks are making it possible for them to still have it. And I just love it. I love what architects do. By the way, can I just, before we go into, you know, I asked, I'm talking with Lester George, ASGCA. I asked him what his dream projects were. So we're going to get into two of them. One is Kinloch Golf Club in Virginia, and the other is Ballyhack. But I have to ask you, it was such a unusual situation at TPC Sawgrass where the dyes created quite the interesting challenge for many, including Rory McIlroy, who decided that, you know, he wasn't having a great day. Oh, darn. I think he said, and then John Rahm, poor John, he had to withdraw because he has a stomach bug. Horrible. But what are your thoughts about a golf course that seems to just like decimate these professional golfers?
Well, you know, it's there's 99.999999% of golfers in the world, and then there's those guys. I mean, they are so good. It is so good. I mean, if I, with the old white at the Greenbrier, you know, when I first restored that, there was never any mention of a tour event coming there because I finished it in 2006. But then it changed hands, and the new owner wanted a tour event there, so I went back in and tried to tour-proof it. And it's just impossible. These guys are so good, and there's just not a lot you can do to play defense. So, and with Dean Beeman in the very beginning of that process, back in the day, they had two missions, stadium golf, so people could observe the game and have big crowds, and also make it a real test of golf, not just with length, but with, you know, small greens and undulation and things like that. So, you know, these guys are the best in the world. So when they have a bad day, I mean, they don't mind saying it, and they want to blame it on the canvas a lot of the times. But I'm not familiar with what happened to Rory, but I've seen other pros, and I know players that have played that, and you know, it's just part of the game. Sometimes it gets you, and sometimes you get it.
Right.
You know?
Right. No,
you know,
you're.
People have gone around there in 63, and people have gone around there in 83.
Yeah.
So.
12 over.
Yeah.
No, Rory wasn't 12 over, but he wasn't blaming the golf course. He was blaming his driver. You know, his driver was becoming non-conforming. He'd been using it so much, so he had to change drivers, and he can't get quite the same feel off of what had become his sweet spot. You know, I mean, because if you hit something so long with such power, you're going to change its dynamics. And so, you know, he was quite up front. I haven't heard anybody really taken seriously, at least, complain about a golf course and blame it. You know, I mean, come on now.
That one's particularly hard. And Pete was a good friend. And I spent some really valuable time with him right before he passed away. And I'll tell you, from a strategy standpoint, he was a genius. From an artistic standpoint, he was a genius. And he really took it personally because he was a good player that he wanted these guys to struggle. And I think his legacy is fully intact. How about that?
I think you're absolutely right.
And he really didn't mind. And you know, Alice, she was a great player as well, his wife. And, you know, they knew all about the game from both perspectives, as you possibly could know. And so, you know, it was very simple for Pete. You know, it's not moving in your backswing, so it was there when you started. Just go ahead and play it out like everyone else. You know,
so, I like that.
As long as it's not stationary. As long as it's stationary, it's fair.
It's not moving in your backswing. Exactly. So let's go to, you know, your favorite golf course designs, your dream designs. Kinloch Golf Club in Virginia. Why this course?
Well, it's certainly the highest ranked golf course in my portfolio, and it's been the highest ranked golf course in the state of Virginia since it's been eligible, and it really kind of launched my, if you will, the notification that we were, you know, for real, and people started really getting, you know, it got us a lot of attention, and it's a perfect piece of terrain, and it was one of those where you just go, wow, I better not mess this one up. Because this is pretty good. So, and it was, you know, I did it with Vinnie Giles, who was arguably the greatest amateur since Bobby Jones in terms of what he's achieved. And so I was thrilled to be there, but that project has turned into, you know, a flagship, if you will.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think if you ask any architect what his best golf course is, he better say his next. I believe that, because I've never tried to emulate anything I've done on the next project and the next project, and that was fully demonstrated when we did Ballyhack, which is the other side of the brain completely, which is, you know, out in the mountains of Virginia, and it's a Highland Lynx style gouged out thing in the, you know, at 1,100 feet up in the air, that the people just really, other architects looked at it and said they couldn't figure out how to put a golf course on it. And we got lucky and got a good group behind us. And actually, I was part of that development team, and we got it done. And it's now in the top 10 in Virginia as well. So we, you know, we're very fortunate with those two sites. And if anybody wants to ever interview us, we say go to Ballyhack and play, and then go to Kinloch and play, and you'll see everything on both ends of that spectrum. So they've done very well for us in the new course arena.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was just thinking that when you go to open terrain that hasn't been touched yet, it must be an amazing moment when it's like the aha moment. Everything goes, I can see it. I see the course here.
Well, I am one of those people, and that you're right with that statement, but I'm one of those people that sees it before I get there. If someone will send me a topo, even if it's covered with trees, I'm one of those people that has the ability to look at the topo and say, I want that green site, I want that tee site, I know where I want to go on that piece of property before I get there. And I've been that way. That's the only real gift I think I have. I mean, I know how to draw and I know how to do drainage and all that stuff too, but my gift has always been routing and seeing the big picture from way above. So when I first get an assignment, I say, just send me the topo. And then when I first get to see the site, I know I want to go from here to there, here to there, here to there, just to verify that I see these landforms the way I want to see them. So
beautiful.
I learned that in the military, and that's why I went into golf, because I was a good terrain analyst and a good, you know, map reader and a good topo guy. So that was my skill. That's the only reason the guy I went to work with hired me, because I could do it as well as he could. So
what is your coming up project? What's on the...
My coming up project is a little thing down in western North Carolina called Contentment. It is kind of a dream project because it is one owner. That's it. One owner. No boards, no committees. No.
No negotiations. You know, yeah. Yes.
Well, you always negotiate with an owner, but I also, you know, there are ups and downs to those kind of dream projects. It's a magnificent site, 900 acres. There will be no homes on it. It's starting out, and it's being done as an homage to C.B. McDonald and Seth Rayner. So it's that kind of architecture, like Chicago Golf Club and Yeaman's Hall and all those great forms of holes, the template holes.
Wow.
But the best part is we started in 2006. So I'm on my 17th year working on this project. So there are, you know, he had all of his, he had three of his five permits in 2012, and he decided to stop and wait, which is what owners do sometimes. But now we're full speed ahead. We've got three of our five permits again, and we're hoping to break ground here this spring, early summer, and we're going to plow on through it. And it's just a magnificent land site, landform. And it's, like I say, it's way northwest North Carolina in the mountains. Really pretty.
Wow. It sounds pretty. You have to send me pictures. I want to be able to see it. And we'll have to talk again about I want to talk about sustainability and architecture, but we're going to have to take that conversation up the next time.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I want to make one correction. I'm not the president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects. That's my friend Britt Stinson. But I have been on the board.
Okay.
I'm not president. I don't want anybody to yell at you on social media.
Thank you. Brett, I apologize profusely.
He'll be fine as long as I, and I'll you can always edit it. It's fine.
Yes.
But anyway, I thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about next time around.
Awesome. Thank you for being on the show. It's a pleasure meeting you, Lester George.
It's a great show, and I'm so glad we finally got together. Thanks, yeah, Danielle.
Me too. Aloha.
All right.
We're gonna come back. It's our Aloha Section PGA 2022 Teacher of the Year. Scott Bridges, next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore. Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded. Taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
We all have our own swing. Scott Bridges, PGA, Aloha Section, PGA 2022 Teacher of the Year out of Four Seasons Resort, Hualalai. What a great place to go to work to every day. Welcome into the clubhouse, Scott Bridges.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is a horrible cubicle I have.
And no view.
No view. I don't even know. Oh, wait, there's Maui. Okay, I do have a view, I guess.
Wait a minute. It's not fair. I love that golf course. I got to be there for one of the senior skins. And it was absolutely fantastic. I was following Arnold Palmer and Tom Watson and, all the people who were there. Jack Nicklaus. When the four, Gary Player, when the four of them get together like that and they're playing as a foursome, the conversations, and there's not a huge number of people. It's hysterical. I mean, they're funny, funny guys.
Well, we've obviously known each other way too long because that was when I was at Mauna Lani, which is down the street.
Hey. Sorry about that. But I know about
your
view.
That was a lot of fun, too. But I'm now down the street where the Champions Tour is played, which is another great venue for the Mitsubishi Electric.
Yes.
That's another great venue. Very small amount of people, and the guys are all great. But, yes, I remember those days. That was when I was really young and I was had no gray hair.
No gray hair. I never know you have gray hair. Don't tell me that. You're blonde.
Okay, I don't. I don't have gray hair. It's a platinum.
Yeah, it's platinum. Yeah, perfect. You got it. So were you surprised when you received the Aloha Section PGA 2022 Teacher of the Year Award?
I was. I really was. That's voted on by my peers and nominated by my peers. So that was a real great honor, and I'm very humbled by it. I try very hard to make people better. I mean, most of the people that come here are about 95% beginners, and then when they come back the next year, they're beginners again because they don't go home and practice. So we just start over again, but it's always fun.
That's so wonderful. Okay, Scott Bridges went from Hawaii to California, where in 2014, or was it the other way around? You came from California, went to... When did you go to... When were you the Teacher of the Year Inland Empire, 2014, Southern California PGA?
Yeah, that was the Inland Empire chapter. I was at the Lorena Ochoa Golf Academy at Goose Creek Golf Club. I went from Dallas to here to California back to here.
Okay.
So that's how the triangle kind of went. And I was teaching out there, and I won... So that was another humbling experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But the section is a bigger deal because there's four chapters, I believe, in California. So
yeah,
I didn't win the section one there. But
you, you know, the 2015, you got Club Fitter of the Year. So for to have the combination of teacher and club fitter, that is, how do you approach your students when you're, you know, getting in the, do you guys have hitting bays? How do you sit? Are you outside? Are you outdoors? Or are you indoors?
Well, here at Hualai, we built a three bay. There I had a two bay in California where I won that. But here we have a three bay, which two of the bays are set up for teaching and club fitting. And one bay is the Topgolf swing suite, which they can play all kinds of games. So it's quite a facility here, and if you ever get over, come by and see it.
Yeah.
It's an awesome... I'll send you some pictures after we get off here so you can see it, but it's really quite an experience. The only one on the coast, and we do a lot. But yeah, doing fitting, we have TrackMan. You can kind of tell what the person needs right away if they're really interested. They have to be able to hit enough consistent shots for you to fit them. If not, they can just go to any store and buy kind of a box set until they get used to their swing, and then fitting is what you really should do if you're going to invest in clubs.
Okay, that's really important because to me. Because I often wondered if, if I got a, if anyone, I have clubs, but if I, should I have them fit for me right when I get them? Because I don't want to get any bad habits, or am I not good enough to get bad habits when I'm starting into the game?
Oh, we're all bad enough. We're really all not that good. So it's a matter of... how much you do practice.
Okay.
So.
Okay. There you go.
That's the thing. But yes, I would say if you're not practicing a lot, it's not, don't go out and buy a big old grand piano because you're going to take a piano lesson and then it just sits in your living room. So, once you start really getting it, then go get fitted because it is important.
Okay. So.
And always when you get the club, always make sure they're checked. To your specs, because they're making them on a factory line or whatever, and sometimes they don't come in the way you totally wanted them. So you always want to check those too.
Yeah. And yeah, and when you go to a store to let's say one of our wonderful golf shops, you can, you know, they'll look at this, your height, and know the length that you should get. So all of that is going to be from the person you're buying it from. They're going to help you with that part, I imagine.
Absolutely. And then, you know, if you need the lie, you know, flat, or you need the lie more upright, you know, there's a lot of things to it. And what shaft? Shaft is really important because they all make great heads nowadays.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, so what, yeah. You have a golf halle where you teach the fine details of the swing.
Correct.
When you're watching, did you watch the players at all? Did you get a chance?
I watched a little bit yesterday, and
what caught your eye? Anything in particular?
Yes, you know, I just love to watch those guys struggle on a golf course. That's the fun part. I mean, the TV can't even shift around to play, show good shots because these guys are hitting them all over the place. But
yes, yes, one poor soul went three times into the water on the same hole. Can you imagine that? Right? I mean,
I've done that. Because once it starts, it just tumbles.
And Rory McIlroy had a miserable day on Thursday. And, of course, John Rahm had the stomach something or other, and he probably had a worse day. But so Rahm withdrew. McIlroy just couldn't seem to get anything going on. So, you know, he's not even the, if you're just getting up in this weekend and you're thinking about, you know, I should watch a little bit, don't look for McIlroy. He's gone home for the weekend.
it happens.
Yeah, but it was really hard because with Rahm leaving, that was a twosome for Rory and Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler, who's doing okay. He's kind of at the top. And the pace of play for the two of them, I think they're quicker than most, especially Rory, right? It took over an hour to finish three holes of golf. And, And I thought to myself, that's ridiculous. How can it, you know, how can these professionals take 3 hours? It wasn't them. It was the people in front of them because they were threesomes. So how much does it, you know, something like that throw you off if you've got a certain pace of play in your own game, your own rhythm?
Well, I like to play fast because just to get it over with, because if I think about it too much, then I really go bad. But no, I mean, you got to want to keep up a pace. If you're playing at one pace and then all of a sudden you hit a wall, that's, does throw you off a lot. I mean, because you're getting out of your rhythm, and then you start thinking about it, and then you start getting like, why is this taking so long? And you start putting other negative thoughts into your head other than the golf game itself. So
yeah, exactly.
I definitely, once you start getting negative thoughts, then it's, you're in trouble.
Yeah. See, that's, you know, earlier in the show, I think I said, now, you know, you're not going to get upset. Look around and find a mongoose to come and steal something off your golf cart. I love that part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The little buggers. They're fast, too.
They're really fast.
They're so much fun. Okay. Really fast. As are Aloha Section PGA 2022, the section, the whole section out of all the PGAs in Hawaii, the Aloha Section PGA 2022 Teacher of the Year. What is, give us a tip. Give us, what is something that you think we should, as, you know, all different levels of our listening of golfers, some of them don't even play the game, but find it fascinating anyway. What is a tip?
So my big thing is I always say, you know, because everybody's done it at least a little while. And when things start going wrong, don't go read articles or anything like that. Just check your grip, which is very important. Make sure it's in the right position, and you can, if you ever read The Five Fundamentals of Golf from on Ben Hogan, that kind of gives you the best grip position to me. Stance is next, which is sort of important. That's, you know, shoulder width apart. But then posture is very important. Make sure that your counterbalance, which is your rear end to your head, is kind of up and out, not down and out like you're squatting down and you're in your heels, because that's your balance. Other than that, you know, then your swing is your swing. I always believe that there's one swing for, you know, you, and there's one swing for someone else. So you have to make sure you get everybody to maximize their particular way they swing. Because yeah, you might swing different than somebody else, but, you know, you're not going to work 8 hours a day, so we have to try to make sure you maximize your potential.
Exactly.
With your swing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're all built different. All of us have we're all built different, so all of our swings are going to be different, you know. There's certain five fundamentals of golf. Ben Hogan, that's the book you want to pick up. Five Fundamentals of Golf, Ben Hogan. You don't want to read all the different articles that come out. This is from Scott Bridges, PGA. You just want to stick.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. In radio, we always said, keep it simple, stupid. And so it was KISS, K-I-S-S. Just, you know, hey.
Correct.
KISS.
I say smarty because, you know, I don't want to be keep it simple, smarty.
Yes.
So, anyhow.
I guess in radio we're really, you know, not too nice to each other, but we love each other anyway.
Yeah. But really, grip stance and posture, you always want to check before you start. I mean, there's a lot of good articles out there. It's just your interpretation of the articles that is hard. So you should always, if you're really struggling, go see your local PGA professional to see what's going on, because it'll be worth the money to get you back on track. But
exactly what I was thinking. You know,
yeah,
you don't have to take a long series of lessons unless but if you're just like, I can't understand what I'm doing, somebody with another set of eyes who's trained to see things, it'll stand out like that, and they'll be able to help you, and then you can go on your merry way and go, thank you, you rescued me.
Yeah,
Mr. PGA, thank you.
I have to go, you know, get checked myself when things are going off, so I go and get to see what I'm doing wrong. But I don't really practice too much because I've been teaching a lot, but it is. Everybody should go check at least once a month or every other month or something if your game's off.
Yeah. Don't struggle. That'll just make it worse.
Struggle.
Yes. Scott Correct. Bridges, PGA, Aloha Section, PGA 2022 Teacher of the Year. Is there anything you'd like to add that I didn't give you a chance to?
Practice putting, because that's where everybody loses your strokes. So
there you go. Practice putting. Now, and you don't have to do it for an hour. You might hurt your back, you know, depending on how old you are.
Yeah. It's platinum. The hair is platinum.
But at least, you know, it can't hurt to pull out the putter and a little ball and just, yes, I got the feeling in. And then put it away and then bring it back out again. It's repetition over time, right?
Correct.
Okay. You're wonderful.
I just saw a whale jump. Sorry.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I have it in my mind's eye. I'm glad you don't apologize for giving us a visual like that. That's awesome.
Okay, well, you have a great one.
You too. And I hope, you know, the last time we talked was like 2013. Could we do this more often?
Yeah. You just let me know.
Thank you, Scott Bridges, PGA, Aloha Section, PGA 2022 Teacher of the Year. I'm going to sing that all the time. Four Seasons Resort, Hualalai. Aloha.
Yes. Aloha.
We're going to come back, and we're actually going to go not really to Uganda, because Isaiah Mimzegi, the founder of the Afriyeya Golf Academy, is not in Uganda where he lives and has created the Afriyeya Golf Academy. He's actually in the UK where he's working on collaborations. And this man is really something because of, you know, the academy's intention for the school golf program is to discover the kids' natural abilities to play the game of golf, but also enjoy the inherent values of the game whilst helping the children with life skills, which are transferable and can enable them to reach their full potential. That's right out of the program here. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Yes, Mike, it is. Rayner has helped thousands of Hawaii homeowners improve their home's beauty and safety with a new door over the years. We specialize in helping people get the right door so they can enjoy their door now while adding to the value and security of their home.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rayner Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, when we have too many thoughts. Okay, let's bring him in. Isaiah Mimzegi, founder of Afriyeya Golf Academy in Uganda. Welcome into the clubhouse, calling in from the United Kingdom.
Thank you so much, Daniela, for inviting me here to share with the world about what Afriyeya Golf Academy is trying to do in Uganda. Now, I'm speaking right now from United Kingdom.
And what took you to the United Kingdom? Tell us what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, thank you so much, Daniela, once again. I'm just in the United Kingdom to explore opportunities that we can be in position to create for the kids in Uganda. So while I'm here in the United Kingdom, I'm trying to meet with a number of people who are in the golf industry, like golf clubs, other golf academies, and explore how we can partner with them and find opportunities that we can use to go and grow the game of golf in Uganda. And these opportunities are not only in golf, but we're also trying to explore how we can connect kids in Uganda and here in the United Kingdom to network and share different cultures, explore education opportunities for kids to come and do some exchange programs, as well as getting scholarship programs, not forgetting environmental sharing and how we can be in position to work as a global community, transform the entire world by protecting it from different challenges.
Yes. You know, you need to tell us, too, we've had a conversation before, but for folks who weren't listening at this particular time or missed the show, why do you think golf is important for your children?
Golf is important for the children because it opens up their minds to learn about the social skills, to learn about how they should be in position to to get a better education, because the game of golf, the kids can be in position to use it and use their skills to acquire scholarships in different schools. Kids on the golf course can come and explore opportunities about how to protect the environment, to learn about the biodiversity. So as Afria Golf Academy, we believe golf is more than a game. It's a sport that opens up opportunity for people from all backgrounds.
I imagine it also enhances a child's social skills. Working together with other children on learning something outdoors, a game, and yet there's a seriousness to it.
Yes, that's very correct. That's very correct. As Afria Golf Academy, we have been able to create a number of workshops which we use to teach people or the young people about social skills. And these are important in the current world. As you know, people have got challenges with mental health. People have got challenges, have got different stresses. So once you come and start teaching young people about all these kind of aspects of life, it can help them to go and transform their communities.
And that's, you know, it really opens doors. The game opens doors.
Yes.
Some of your academy partners, I wanted to highlight them because obviously, I mean, you've done a lot of work. You've been the outdoor captain and acting general secretary of the Toro Golf Club. You're the founder and CEO of Afria Golf Academy. You've been working hard, a bachelor's degree in agriculture. You have a diploma agroforestry, a certificate of agrotechnologies, certificate in biomass. So you've got a lot of background. But to do this, you need partners, people who have influence, including what is the Three Hammers Golf Academy in the UK?
Yeah, so Afria Golf Academy has always made partnership to be the DNA of our development, and we have been able to partner with academies like the Three Hammers in the United Kingdom, and Afria and Three Hammers Golf Academy engage in different activities, especially of bringing kids to learn about the different cultures, but also try to explore about which things are being done differently from the other side and how things are done in the other side. So Afria Golf Academy have also been engaged in online golf tournaments between our academy here in Uganda and the academy in the United Kingdom. And this has opened up opportunities for the kids to actually understand where they are maybe not performing well, and they learn from each other.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then you also have Mizuno Golf Manufacturers behind you and Aspire USA.
Yes. So Mizuno is one of our big international partners in terms of equipment. They recently donated three sets of golf clubs, really with an intention of how to grow the game of golf in Uganda. And we believe they are doing this to really contribute to Africa's development in golf. And this is one way how the company is trying to give back to the communities. So this is extremely they are very generous, and we are very excited as Afria Golf Academy to have this kind of donation from this international company called Mizuno.
Right. Mizuno's big. Aspire USA, what is that?
Aspire USA is helping us to explore scholarship opportunities for our kids. As we said, actually, most of our kids come from very underprivileged families, and their parents don't have the money to take them to schools. So Aspire helps us to identify college opportunities where our kids can go and study. Those kids who have got the talent of golf as well as education, so they just go and get opportunities to study in different colleges in USA and UK.
That's great. And what you said about, you know, exchanging information about different cultures, I mean, for children to know how to behave in a different place is really critical to their maturity. So they understand that just because it's only done this way where they live doesn't mean that that necessarily works in another country. So you open up the mind to absorb different ways of life, and you can adapt. And that adaptation does something in the brain to then open up more pathways for information to flow and to be more open to new things. And I really commend you for the work you're doing. It's also great to see that the Fort Portal City Council's behind you. The district education officer at Fort Portal, seems like you have the community behind you.
Yeah, that's very true. And actually, when it comes to environment, we have been really progressing very well. And as you may know, like this year in January, we managed to win the Gulf Environment Award here in UK, which was organized by the Gulf Environment Award. So we got a special recognition for all our good work we have been doing in planting trees on the golf course, protecting the golf course from plastics and poison bugs, and implementing projects of putting different bins for putting the waste in different places on the golf course and off the golf course.
Wow. So you're actually planting over 400 trees at the Toro Club in Fort
yes.
Portal?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. You have cleaning campaigns, environmental debates in schools and communities. It's great to know. I mean, the world is really getting behind taking care of the planet. What a great concept, yes?
Yes, and you know, if we really don't protect the planet right now, we don't have any other time to do it. So the best time is to take action right now, and AFREA is taking the lead, and it always explores opportunities for other organizations or companies that share the same values as we do. And we also managed to work last year with the Serene Center Golf Club here in the UK, where they managed even to support our kids by getting a projector. This is going to be facilitating our online golf programs. So trying to explore really more opportunities. I will be going to Wales in April to also look for opportunities to partner with golf clubs, golf academies, or individuals who can contribute to our mission of transforming the game in Africa.
Wow. I just want to present a couple of things that you wrote here. The Academy has introduced more girls into the game of golf. 53% of the school golf program now are girls. The Academy enabled at least 20 kids from a very underserved youth, and for the very underserved youth, and the children get more education both in Uganda and beyond through the Academy. The Academy has introduced golf to the disabled people in the community. You've produced two national teams of golfers?
Yes, please. We have produced two national team players from our Academy, which is another great achievement here.
Yeah. And since the inception of AFREA Golf Academy, it's introduced the game to over 350 children from different walks of life. Now, finally, a question I have to ask you. Why did this come from you, who spent so much time in agriculture? How did you get pulled into golf and the idea of getting children into golf?
Yeah, actually, what I'm trying to do with AFREA Golf Academy, it comes from the deepest part of my heart, because how I managed to really come into the game of golf, I used to walk over 70 kilometers to go and carry golf bags at Toro Golf Club. While doing that, I managed to learn a lot of things about golf, and while doing that, I managed to earn some bit of money, which I used to use for paying my school fees, also for my personal welfare. So running AFREA Golf Academy is something that I'm trying to do to give back to the people that helped me to come into the game of golf, the people who helped me actually to get education, because I didn't pay for myself. I didn't have the money. So many people came and tried to fundraise for me because they didn't have the funds. So what I'm trying to do with AFREA Golf Academy is to give back to the community. And our whole intention is now to give the community by encouraging many young people from different walks of life to come and play the game of golf. And also we help them to explore opportunities where they can go and attain better education in the US, in the UK, wherever kids would want to go and find their full potential. That's what we are looking for. And we are trying to connect with people, maybe in the UK, in the US, who can have brochures in our in their places so that they can be able to share the message about our golf academy. And we are trying to work with a number of really key players in the industry of golf.
How do we get in touch with you?
How to get in touch with us? We are very well oriented on our different websites, on afreyagolfacademy.com, but we are also very available on different social media handles, on LinkedIn, on WhatsApp, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. So we can be found on all those platforms. And once someone drops a message there, we should be able to respond as soon as we can. And preferably, if you can use the website, you can send us a message on the afreyagolfacademy.com, and we shall be in position to respond and explore opportunities for partnership.
Awesome. And that's spelled A-F. R-I-Y-E-A, Afriyea, A-F-R-I-Y-E-A, Golf Academy. Thank you so much for... Yes?
And the name actually comes from the continent of Africa. Afri means like the whole vision of Afriyea Golf Academy is to see how we can replicate what is in Fort Portal right now to all the golf clubs of Uganda and Africa as a whole. So that's where the name actually originates from. And we are looking forward to partner with anyone that is available out there to transform the game of golf in Africa. And we appreciate the Golf Club Radio for always giving us this very platform to really change the lives of so many people in Africa.
Well, you'll be on again. Thank you very much, because, you know, I agree with what you're doing. Thank you very much, Isaiah Mimzabe, founder of Afriyea Golf Academy in Uganda. And right now he's in the United Kingdom and talking with people about partnering and collaborating. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to catch up with Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. He also writes one of my favorite golfdigest.com columns. It's called The Grind. It's a little off the wall. He's got the buy and sell feature after yesterday. I wonder if he's buying or selling TPC Sawgrass. So many people just love seeing the great players of the world struggle. I think that was one of the funniest comments that I've heard today. A couple of people said it, right? Have you heard the whole show? Okay, we're going to come back right after this, and Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine, will be with us. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, Honolulu.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What do you get for the person that has everything?
We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles, from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, it's going to be a mostly sunny day today. Isolated showers on Kauai mainly. A high today of 77. Could be as chilly as 72, depending on high up or a low. You know, this morning it was 52 in Volcano. So mostly sunny. Sea breezes to 10. Mostly clear tonight. The low tonight between 57 and 62. Could be a little bit cooler depending on high up you live. Southwesterly winds around 15 miles per hour. Tee times. If you'd like to play a round of golf today, we've got a 928 at Volcano. Muckalay is also up country. A lot of peacocks up there. 910, I think you might be able to get there. Pui Pu and the Palmer Group and the Aim Right Rifle Company. They're on the course and having a grand time. There's a 1040 and a 1050. It's a gorgeous golf course, but then all of our golf courses are gorgeous. Turtle Bay has a 918 and 11 o'clock. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 840, a little bit, but if you're close by, 950, 1010. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 1016. Makaha East has an 1124, oh, a 1051 too, and a 1227. Balls Deep. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. That group also on the course. And Wailea on Maui. There's an 11 o'clock, 12:10, 1:30 on the gold course. 10, I make that 12:40, 12:50 on the emerald. And after 1 on the blue course, they have some tee times. Give them a call. All right. Rory McIlroy had pretty much a miserable Thursday. Didn't have much of a great Friday either. But then Friday didn't really, it was so weird. There was a delay, weather delay, and these guys were playing slow, or snails. John Rahm, unfortunately, he had to withdraw from the Players because of a stomach bug. Rory couldn't get anything going. Now, these guys are the same group. They're off with Scottie Scheffler. And imagine, you know, okay, one guy can't play. Scotty's there. Their timing is off. Rom's not there. It's just a twosome. The rest are threesomes, and everything's taking forever. Let's bring him in now. Alex Meyer, senior writer of Golf Digest magazine. Alex writes golfdigest.com column called The Grind. It's a little bit off the wall, as I mentioned. It's the week in review. What you're buying, what you're selling. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Hey, Danielle, how's it going?
It's going really, going good. I was wondering, are you buying or selling TPC Sawgrass?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny because, we went on a golf trip there once, and I want to say maybe 15 years ago, and it was in the summer, and, you know, it was fun. It was good, but it's tough. And we actually were a little let down by it. But I've covered this tournament so many times, and seeing it in March, it really does look so much better. And I do think it provides an exciting venue for these great players. So, you know, I think it's almost a little too tough for, you know, an average golfer like myself. But I think it does make for an exciting tournament. And obviously, yesterday when the wind got up, and we see that the greens are kind of getting browned out. You know, we saw some crazy stuff. We saw Patrick Cantlay putt one into the water. That was wild. I mean, he's one of the best putters on the planet. He's putting the ball into the water, making double bogey. And of course, we've seen a million balls go into the water at number 17. So it's a fun venue. So overall, yes, I'm buying it, but I'm not paying the $840 or whatever to play there. It looks ridiculous. No,
I know. I saw that. Someone asked on Twitter if you would go play it, and I loved your answer. It's like, No.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those things, I guess you do it once. I remember it was really expensive 15 years ago. Wasn't that expensive, but it was really expensive. And obviously these things have only gotten more expensive through the years. And there's, you know, it's, Danielle, it's crazy how much some of these courses, I mean, I don't know what the, how it is in Hawaii. Obviously things are expensive in Hawaii to begin with, but right. In terms of golf itself, you know, it seems like golf prices have gone up much quicker than the prices of other things.
Yes.
So, you know, it used to be that like Pebble Beach was insane, that it was $500. Now, a lot of courses charge $500 for peak season. It's like that's not even weird anymore. So, TPC Sawgrass being 800 and something is still a bit extreme in my opinion, but yeah, that's just if people are obviously paying it if that's what they're charging.
I'm not going.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I mean, seriously, especially if you've already done it once.
Yeah.
Again, like a $500 for a really, really special place with a lot of history. You know, maybe you do it once, but man, it's getting tougher and tougher to kind of play some of these big name tracks.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of great seeing how the course ate up the field.
Yeah.
Munch.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yes. And we need to see. I did feel really bad for Aaron Wise. I think he put the ball in the water three times on
three
the same
times. On
the
same, team.
Right?
Yeah,
off the tee three times.
Three times, and then he finally took his medicine and went way right, and then made a 10 from there. So you know, that's the thing about this course. You see some big numbers, but it's weird because you also see a lot of birdies being made at other parts of the course, including the 16th hole. But then once you get past that 16th hole, which is the par 5, and again, it's another hole though with water, so you can see guys make a mistake there. But then you got 17 and 18. So you could be having the round of your life, and it doesn't matter until you get through 17 and 18. I mean, they are just so tough, especially when the wind was like it was blowing on Friday. There's no other tougher two-hole stretch in golf. I mean, Chad Ramey, you know, had the lead. He gets to 17. He didn't even hit a bad shot, and it bounced and went rolled, and because the greens are so firm, and it trickled just over, and then he goes to the drop zone. Another shot right to the back, and it trickles just over, and he puts two in, and he makes a 7, and now he's off the leaderboard, and it's like he was having, you know, the two rounds of his life. And then all of a sudden, two swings, which weren't even bad swings, and he's off the leaderboard. So that's what can happen here. That's why it is exciting. Mm-hmm. You have to watch to the finish. Uh-huh. So for that reason, that is why I buy it for sure as a you know, PGA Tour venue. And it's nice when there's certain courses that, you know, you see year after year. Obviously, this isn't a major technically, but it's kind of like the Masters in that you know the course so well, even the casual golf fan, especially because everybody knows number 17.
Right.
But it's fun to kind of see the course. Even if you've never played it, you almost feel like you have because you've seen it so much.
Yeah. Now, okay, next question about buying or selling.
Yeah.
Are you buying or selling the pace of play?
Oh, I'm selling. I mean, again, I know it's difficult out there, especially with that wind yesterday. I know these guys are playing for a ton of money, $25 million purse. So just making the cut, I think last place is 54,000. So just think about that. If you know, you're three over on Friday, if you could just make one more birdie, you guarantee at least $54,000. Now, you know, to a superstar, that's like Rory McIlroy, that's not a big deal, but to a normal player, that's a big deal. So I get what my point is. I get why they might take a little longer than the app, you know, than you or I when we're out there playing. But man, to average 5.5 hours per round is just excruciating. I think at one point yesterday, one of the announcers remarked that there were four groups waiting on the second tee box. I mean, that's like if I go to a course in New York City on a weekend at noon, which I would never do because that's what happens. You're playing a 6-hour round, and these are the best golfers in the world taking that long. So I am totally selling that, Danielle. They got to find a way to speed it up. Look at Major League Baseball. They're finding a way to do a pitch clock, speed the game up. We've seen some great results in spring training. Golf needs to somehow enforce this pace of play stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, then the weather shut it all down. So not only was it like snail's pace, then in the weather, you know, and so then we're trying to finish one side, trying to do the, it's just crazy. And I've kind of felt bad. I mean, Rory's got like plenty of money and he's, you know, probably needs a rest after all the negotiating and whatever he's been doing in addition to trying to keep up with his game, right, and be on the golf course. So but it was like just the two guys, and Rory's a fast player, right? Isn't he a fast he likes his tempo is pretty quick, right? And I don't think Scottie Scheffler is a snail. And now these two guys are waiting for an hour and a half for over a three-hole stretch. It takes an hour and a half to play three holes.
And that's a joke. Yeah, that just should never happen.
No,
and it's got it. And it's, and Danielle, you know, it's honestly it's especially frustrating for the guys who play quicker because, you know, they're saying, "What the heck? Like, I'm not holding people up, and yet I have to be held up on every hole." And that's got to be frustrating for a guy like Rory and Scheffler. You're right. Neither of them are slow players for sure. And you know, there's a lot of culprits out there. You can't just point to a couple guys.
No.
I mean,
right.
There are a lot of guys out there. But and even the faster guys, if it's a big shot and it's tricky and the wind is up, they're not – I think you have like 45 seconds. They're not always pulling it off in that 45-second window. So everyone's to blame here. But, again, if they started to actually enforce this a bit.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Why are we still talking about it years? I mean, we've been talking about.
I don't know.
You know?
It's like, I don't know, Daniel. No, I mean, I guess it's because the players, you know, it's their tour.
That's right.
And there's enough guys who don't want to feel rushed, especially if there's $25 million on the line.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's unfortunate that there aren't, you know, I think that if enough guys said, we got to start enforcing this, then it would happen. But again, there are going to be these situations where extenuating circumstances where, you know, someone's in a weird spot and it's late on Sunday and this and that. And I get it. So there has to be, that's what's tough. It can't just be a pitch clock count because there are weird things that do pop up. So I don't have all the answers here. I just do know that if they started to enforce it at all, now guys do get fined every once in a while if they get a certain amount of times put on the clock. But we've seen it's been a handful of times, literally in 30 years, that there's actually been a penalty assessed. And when it does happen, it's usually to someone. Like I'm blanking on the guy's name, Guan Tian Lang at the Masters 10 years ago, the 17-year-old or whatever, 14-year-old they penalized out of nowhere. You know, it's crazy. Like, he's the guy you're going to penalize after all these other people? I mean, so they never hit, you know, Rory McIlroy with the penalty. That's for sure.
The 14-year-old kid's penalized.
Yeah, they hit the 14-year-old with the penalty. God. I mean, they hadn't called a slow play penalty in 20 years. They hit a 14-year-old with it. It's just nuts.
Okay. I don't know the end of this story, and maybe you can help us, but Jordan Spieth, you know, he was going to miss the cut.
It's wild.
He managed an eagle on 18 because it bounced off the guy's knee?
Yeah, so it was on 9. His last hole was 9 yesterday. He played the back first. And 9, you know, is a par 5. It's not the easiest par 5. You have to hit it great. Second shot to even get close to the green, but there is a pond that comes into play if you go right. He went right of that pond. I've never seen someone that far right. And I think, what hole is that over there? It's another hole altogether. I'm getting kind of blanked out. It might be 16.
I wish I could help, but I understand.
I'm blanking. It might be 16. Anyway, there are people watching the other hole over there, and it took a short hop off a guy watching the action on another hole, somehow hit off his knee and bounced across that pond I was talking about and into the middle of the fairway. It's got to be one of the luckiest breaks in the history of golf. And then what's so crazy is, and then this is, nothing's crazy with Jordan Spieth, by the way, nothing. He then makes eagle to make the cut. When a bogey, a par, he actually would have made it. But if he goes in the water there, obviously he's not going to make a par, and he misses a cut. So he gets, not only does he get lucky, he turns it into an eagle. He's actually having a decent day so far, so he's kind of climbing the board. But again, Jordan Spieth, his rounds, if you watch his rounds, you'll see three or four things per round that you've never seen before. I mean, he is just all over the map. He chips in from anywhere, holding long putts, missing short putts. He really is something else to watch. And just talking through everything.
Uh-huh. Yes, talking.
He's kind of a mess, if we're being honest. Kind of a head case. But he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. Now he, in his conference, you know, his question and answer after, he said, I really want to find the guy because I want to give him something.
I don't know if he's found him. And I'm sure it will happen, but he said, I will literally give him anything. That's what he said. So that was a great line. And you know what? Honestly, it was a great answer because I was saying before, you know, you wouldn't think it's, and there's been a lot of talk with the cut events coming up next year and everything else. And it's great to see someone who's won three majors who making the cut at a Players' Championship, it means that much to him.
Yeah, I'll give you anything.
So,
yes.
You know, there's kind of a pride thing there. You don't want to go home early. It's embarrassing, especially when you're a big name. So, yeah, I would literally give him anything. So I'm sure he'll get hooked up with whoever's knee got smashed.
Who's ever's knee. Yes. Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't stood up a long time ago, you know?
Same. Yeah. Usually you get rewarded right on the spot, you know, signed glove or whatever, but... This hopefully will benefit that guy, whoever it is, in the long term.
Now on Rory, we're going to go back to Rory just a bit. I loved how he said, they were talking to him. How is your game? Duh.
Yeah.
You know, very blah. That's what he said. Very blah.
Very blah.
Yeah, blah.
Well, he has a weird situation going on now, and he was very honest about it. And, you know, part of the reason was it does kind of give him an excuse. But you usually don't see guys, not that he was bad-mouthing his equipment company, TaylorMade, but he said that he had to switch drivers for this year because what happens is these guys hit their drivers so much, the face gets so thin that it acts as kind of like a trampoline. And every once in a while, you have to get it tested. And if it's too thin, it's too hot. You have to take it out. So he knew that his club, he used it. I don't know how he knew this. Maybe he tested it on his own. He knew he needed to get a new driver and play this year, which he didn't want to do. He wanted to keep his old driver. He was obviously, he was playing unbelievable at the end of last year. But he knew his new driver wouldn't pass this test. So he got a new driver from TaylorMade. You would think they would be able to make the exact same driver, specifications and everything. For whatever reason, though, he cannot control this new driver as well, and we've seen it so far this year. He's got off to, for him at least, a bit of a slow start. So he was very open about this the other day. He was talking about how he can't quite find, you know, replicate what he had before, again, because that club face had been worn down from so much use. So it's just such a weird situation where you want to use, you know, your old equipment. And that's better than the new stuff. But maybe by the, you know, maybe by the Masters, he'll hit it enough times that face will be worn down to his liking. But he's definitely struggling right now with the tee. And as we know, he's the best driver on tour or Jon Rahm. And that's really where he gets a lot of his advantage over the competition. So when he doesn't have that, he looks, you know, a little more like a normal human being. And he shoots five over through two rounds and misses the cut.
He needs an iron Byron.
Yes, that's right. To just wear it out. Just keep hitting it over and over and over. Yeah, exactly. Wear that thing down.
Break it in for me, Iron.
Right.
That would work.
Yeah.
So, you know, on this no cut thing. I just don't. I don't. Are you buying or selling?
Look, I'm not. I'm really not either or. I really do think the reaction is, it's a little bit of an overreaction because we're talking about eight events and we already had, I think, six that weren't cuts. If you think about it, with the world, you know, the World Golf Championships were getting phased out, but we did have the four World Golf Championships, but one of them was match play, but so I guess that doesn't really count. But so you had three stroke play World Golf Championships. Okay. Limited field, no cut. Uh-huh. You have, of course, in Hawaii, the Tournament of Champions every year, which is limited field, no cut. And then you have the Tour Championship, which is limited field, no cut. Now, those bookend events are very exclusive. You have to win a tournament or whatever to get in. You have to be in the top 30. So to me, the cut in those events kind of happens before, and you get in, and that's your reward. So, you know, do I wish it was maybe fewer than eight events? Sure. I mean, maybe five would have been a better number, I guess. But my point is, for the last 25 years, basically, or over 20 years at least, we've had five-ish events with no cuts. So it's not that big of a departure from what we're used to, is my point. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as everyone else, or not everyone, as a lot of people are saying. I do think, though, like we were just talking about Spieth grinding to make this cut. You know, of course, making the cut provides a lot of drama. That being said, it's not like you're going to see guys who would have missed a cut start winning tournaments. I mean, maybe once a year, someone who makes the cut on the number wins a tournament. But, you know, it's not like if Rory got to play today and tomorrow, he's going to win the tournament.
No.
There's no way. 0.00001% chance of it happening. So, okay, it lets you get four rounds. Maybe you move up. Maybe you finish tied for 30th or something. But I just don't think it's going to change things that much.
You know, I agree with you. At the same time, the World Golf Championships were not exactly on fire. They didn't
really... That's true. That's very true.
You know, they weren't exciting in a lot of ways. I wasn't drawn to them. Oh, I've got to watch this. And I think the idea of a cut puts more adrenaline in the whole thing. I mean, you're fighting for, it's like having a team. You know, my team, team is this guy. You know, this guy, I want him to win. I'm betting on him, whatever it is, I'm wagering.
Right.
You know, so it just adds this element of drama that if you take that away, it's like, okay, everybody's going to be in. I don't have to watch until, what, Sunday?
No, that's actually a good point. To me, it's like, well, you still have to watch those first two rounds because it's not like you want to go into the weekend 12 shots out of the lead.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're
just not going to win. But no. That's why I said I'm kind of in between the buying and selling. My problem more was with I was surprised at how the backlash. I was just surprised at just how strong the backlash was because, again, I was like, what am I missing here? We kind of had this already. Now, you're right. You can then say, well, what we had wasn't great. Okay, fine. That's a different argument to me. And they could have changed things around. And look, they could have even, you know, you put 70 guys in. Why can't you have a cut?
Yes.
40 guys make the cut. Like, the Masters some years has 90 guys. They make a cut every year.
Absolutely.
And, like, 55 guys out of 88 guys will make the cut. It's the easiest cut in golf to make. Why couldn't you do that with this? I don't know. And still guarantee guys, you know, maybe last place money, guarantee the guys who cut a certain amount, but the guys who make it are playing obviously for the bigger slice.
Oh my god. I mean, we're out of
they
time.
They definitely could have done that. Oh wow. Okay. This is great. Yeah, we could just chat all day.
We could talk all day. I mean, yes, the best line from the Rory interview, don't feel like I'm playing that bad, a little untidy. I call my kids' room a little untidy. Thank you for being with us this morning. It's wonderful. It's your afternoon. It's my morning. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest. So much fun. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Danielle. A lot of fun.
Aloha.
See you again soon. Take care. Aloha.
And thank you to the Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore. Yes, next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava or in Waipahu. You know, You remember the windstorm and everybody's like without power and you're worried about your refrigerator and all the food that's going to go. Get a generator. Get a generator. Aloha Power Equipment's got some great generators. And then you just, you know, hook it up with an extension cord to your refrigerator. It's outdoors. Your refrigerator's fine. It's all good. MD Restoration, floods, yeah, we had those too, from the inside or the outside, flood or fire disaster, you need help immediately, anytime, day or night, right away. Disaster strikes your home or your office, MD Restoration, licensed contractors, they'll do the cleanup, then they can repair things. 528-3434. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful look, maximum security, quiet. It's your first safety zone, right? You just get right in and everything's going to be terrific. All right, so that is 676-3667. And CyPack for cybersecurity. Get in touch with them, CyPack.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.